Going to be assessing the whole concept of mechiras chametz. Where in the world did that come from? That all of a sudden the Torah tells us that we're not allowed to have chametz in our house. By rabbi, you matzah, you can't see, you can't own it, you can't have it in your possession. All of a sudden, we go to our rabbi in the morning before Erev Pesach and say, "Hey, rabbi, get rid of my chametz and it's sitting in your cupboard and you're selling it." Where in the world did that come from? Are we violating the Torah? Is this a rabbinic makeup thing? Is this some kind of apikorsis? You know, what is this all about? So this is what we're going to assess today, and we'll talk about modern-day applications of this very interesting loophole. If you look at the first page, you have a bunch of psukim telling us that the whole concept of owning and possessing chametz during Pesach is an Isser Kareis. It can't get worse than that. Shivas Yamin, this is from Parshas Bo. Masos Tochelu, Achvi Yamin Mishon Tashbitu, Sormi Batechem. So it's Pesach for the 7 days, and you're supposed to get rid of the chametz beforehand. Ki chol ocha chametz v'nichuta ha-nefesh ha-yimi Yisrael, mi Yamin Mishon ha-yam ha-shvi'i. You eat it, you possess it, you get Kareis. Shivas Yamin, this is Orlo Yimasev Batechem. You're not allowed to have it, but you must say. You're not allowed to own chametz during this time. Ki chol ocha machmetz v'nichuta ha-nefesh ha-yimi da'at Yisrael, be-ger v'zach ha-aretz. You're cut off, you're excised from the entire world. Turn the page. You don't have what I have, but the Sefer HaChinuch says basically that we have this mitzvah of tashbitu, of destroying our chametz, of getting rid of our chametz. If there's an issue of bayirah and bayimatzi, of not owning it, not seeing it, not possessing it, then obviously that there is tashbitu, that there is a mitzvah of destroying your chametz. The whole machlokas of how you destroy it. Do you flush it in the yam? Do you burn it? Rabbi Yehuda? Do you do it? The Baal Hamor says you, if you eat your chametz before with the intention of getting rid of your chametz, then you're mekayim tashbisu just by eating the chametz. So all your mishloach manot that you just got, and you're eating all the stuff, every single time you eat another waffle, you're mekayim tashbisu according to mitzvah. Okay.
Can you eat your chametz?
Before Pesach?
When you're doing Ketikat Chametz, can I find Chametz? Can I eat that Chametz?
Before you make it Hefka? Yeah, of course you can. Next page.
What do you mean before you make it?
What? You're going to be Mevatalit. At one point, you're going to be Mafkir.
I make a bracha.
Yeah.
Before my house is leaving Chametz.
Yes.
I find something that's good to eat. Can I eat that?
Of course you can.
Amazing.
Next. That's Tashbis according to Baal HaMor. It's sitting down and eating it the next morning. Of course it is. Right? You don't have to throw it away. You're eating it. That's ingesting it. Come on, let's go. Look inside. Here we have a Tosefta. Tosefta, same time of the Mishnaic, right, of Mishnaic statements. We have a very, very interesting case. Here we go, on the bottom of the page. Yisrael v'nachri. So this is a case of usually a person's getting rid of their chametz before. They're in the luxury of their own home. They have chametz in their house. They're either eating it before Pesach, or they're destroying it before Pesach, burning it, throwing it away, whatever. When Pesach comes along, their house is clean, their house is Pesachtik. But what happens if you're on a journey and you're traveling and you have your little knapsack with your bunch of pretzels and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and it's 2 days before Pesach, a day before Pesach, and you realize, oh my God, what am I going to do? I have this journey, I'm nowhere near the shores. If I eat or cast off my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, all my provisions over the whatever it is, what's it called?
Derail?
What's mast? One word?
Mast.
Overboard. If you throw it overboard, okay, we'll use that. If you throw it overboard, what am I going to do 7 days from now when I need it for the next provision? So listen to this Tosefta. It's very interesting. Yisrael v'nachri shahu yukant boyim b'svina v'chametz b'yad Yisrael. What happens if a non-Jew and Jew are on a boat and the Jew has chametz? So what does he do? If he gets rid of it, then he has nothing after Pesach. And if he keeps it, he's violating b'yirah b'yimatzeh, that he's possessing chametz over Pesach. So what does he do? Harizem mochro l'nachri, he sells it to the non-Jew. Oh no b'matana, or he gives to the non-Jew the gift. He says, here are my pretzels, or buy my pretzels from me. And then after Pesach, chozer v'lokeach mimenu l'achar Pesach. And after Pesach, he buys it back. He says, could I please, here's $100, here's $20, I'd like to buy my pretzels back. Ubilvad, providing that this is done shi'itnu lo b'matana gemura, providing that he gives this sale as a real sale or a real gift. Meaning what? What does that mean, that he gives it b'matana gemura? That you're not expecting it back, it's not conditional that you're getting it back, you can't scream at him if he's eating your pretzels, all of a sudden he sits back on the boat like, you can't say, what are you doing? Yeah, because it's his. So it can't be a deceptive kind of concept, it has to be matana gemura. What?
They're trying to say this is only in the case you can sell it by that pikuch nevesh or like sakana. Or is it saying that even if you're not on a boat, even if you just want to, you know, make sure you don't lose all your scotch,
Sweetie, this is a historical antecedent. What we do with this case, this is what we do with this case, and how far we extend it is basically up to the next generation. This is the first source in the entire world where you find the concept of selling your chametz and that you might be getting back the same item after Pesach. This is it. You just travel back around 2,200 years, right? To 2,000 years, to the first concept of Mechiras Chametz. And the first concept of Mechiras Chametz, back in time, you just traveled it, is a concept of a rarity, and it's a real gift, and it's a real matana, or it's a real kinyan, and we don't know how far this is extended, and what are practical applications. What we're going to be doing is the next 1,800 years of how far they took this and its limitations. Okay? What?
Are you allowed to sell, let's say, if you kind of are going to be relying on, are you allowed to, let's say, sell it for $1 million? And just tell them, let's say, like, you know, give me $1 million, you have the ability to back out, or, like, unconditional, like, you sell it for some exorbitant amount.
Does he have the money to buy it?
Does he have to?
Of course. This is a full-fledged gift and contract. This thing is saying that it's real. It's a real concept. It's a real transaction. It's not something that's joke. It's not something that's, you know, that hypothetical. It's not something that's an impossibility for it to actualize. This is a real transaction. It's gemura.
So
well, let's delve in it. We didn't go anyplace. We're on page one. What?
What are the conditions be that he has to return it, like with lula, like it's yours on the condition you return it, like so retroactively it was sold?
What? We're saying right now that he can, in this rare case, he can do it, providing that it's a full transaction. We don't know anything else. Could we just go for the next few pages? Okay, next page. So the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, same, you know, cast as last week. You know, we had the Tosefta, we had the Bahag. Here we go, we have Bahag off of the Tosefta. So this is what he says. He quotes the Tosefta verbatim, but he switches a word. Yisrael v'gayishal yubam b'svinu v'hayu chametz b'yad Yisrael. You have two guys on a boat, Jew, non-Jew, sounds like a joke. Hari zemochel enochon anu lebantana. He can give it to him as a transaction or give it to him as a gift. V'chod lokech menu achar Pesach, and after Pesach he buys it back. Ubilvad, in the Tosefta said that it was Matana Gemura. Here it says, Ubilvad Shelo Ya'arim, providing that it is not deceptive. We don't know what the Bahag means, that providing that's not deceptive. So turn the page. So the Rambam, we're just giving all the characters here and then we'll play with it. The Rambam, looking at the same Tosefta, looking at the Bahag, because he comes 200 years after the Bahag, he comes along and he says, I'm quoting this as a halacha. It's doable. Yisrael v'goyishar yabayim b'svina v'yichametz b'yad. Yisrael v'giyashah chamishis. Meaning it's the last hour that a Jew possesses chametz before Erev Pesach. How is a mocher l'goy? He sells it, gives it to him as a gift, buys it back after Pesach. Ubilvash yinenu l'matana gemura, providing that it's real. Turn the page.
This only for males? I'm saying, can you sell it to a female?
Of course you can. Next page. Page 7. Doesn't mean as long as a person has a possessive ability.
Say him.
Because could a woman own stuff?
No. Goes to her husband.
You're wrong.
Probably.
When you learn Shas, you'll know that a woman comes into a wedding, into a marriage, with Nichsei Melug and Nichsei Barzel. There's possessions that are hers, no matter what. It's some of states from her father. It might be stuff that she owns, but the husband doesn't have an ability to touch it. It's hers. Nichsei Melug and Nichsei Barzel are her possessions, i.e. meaning that women, believe it or not, can actually own stuff. Next, page 7. The Ritva comes along and wants to understand the Bahag. Listen, guys. The Rambam says it has to be a real transaction. The Bahag says it has to be something that's not deceptive. The Tosefta says it has to be real. Now, there are two different ways to understand how this works. Right now, the Rambam says that it works. Right? The Rambam. Right? One says it can't be deceptive. What is everyone's Matana Gemara? So here we go. You can enjoy this. The Ritva comes along and says, what does it mean, Ubevashalo Ya'arim? Page 7, guys. Ubevashalo Ya'arim, providing that it's not deceptive. Aval him eharim, if he does it deceptively, meaning what? Hu rogil la'asot kein b'chol shanim. If he does this every year, this is a deception. Understand? So meaning what? A sale to a non-Jew before Pesach works, according to the Ritva, if it's a rarity. Right? That's the only way it works. This is an exception that we gave you, because we understand that what you'll be in dire straits, or you'll be pressed to do something, or you might violate Pesach, but we didn't give you an out. So the Ritva says it works, bevad that it's a matana gemura, bevad that it's not a ya'arim. What does that mean? That it's a rarity, that you don't do it every year. If you do it every year, you're joking halacha, you're making a mockery of it all. Got it? It's very interesting, very different from what we do. Turn the page. The Beis Yosef comes along and says, no, the whole concept of shelo ya'arim, or that it's matana gemura, this is the Beis Yosef, means that you don't do it on condition that you're going to get it back. Meaning that if you do this, you can do this every year, it's just unconditional. Meaning that you go into this, you can go this every single year, but you know that you might not get it back. You know that it's not something so fixed that you're actually really giving it to the non-Jew. You get it? The major difference here. This doesn't allow us to do what we do today. Hold on. This only allows us to do it if you really give over the concept to the non-Jew. Well, we'll see whether or not people do that or not. I'll steal my thunder by...
Don't
steal
your thunder.
No. Steal my thunder. I can do it right now.
No.
Okay, fine. Just have to make a note for myself so I remember. Okay. Page. Okay. The question is, the Shulchan Aruch is going to come, guys. The Shulchan Aruch is going to come, and who do you think he's going to paskin like? The Ritva or the Beis Yosef?
Beis Yosef.
Very good. It's your question. It's him. Shulchan Aruch is the Beis Yosef, right? Okay. So he's going to obviously paskin, unless he's schizophrenic and he had a head injury, he's going to paskin like himself. So look at this. Turn the page. Page 9. The insane thing is when we get to the end of this, you'll understand how... Forget it. Okay, next. Page 9. Hilchos Pesach, Siman Taf Minches. Here we are. Chamesh HaYisrael Shavar Lava Pesach Hasar Bahana. What happens if my relative doesn't know what they're doing and they have chametz in their house? They don't sell it. They don't get rid of it. And after Pesach, I go to their house like a week later and I'm like, hey, how you doing, Beth? What's up? And she has like crackers. It's like, you just bought these? Like, no, I had it for like a month. I can't eat them. She can't eat them. All of a sudden, they become usser objects, which is really weird. Meaning that any object that goes into this zone of isser, all of a sudden has this like this radioactive, you know, radiation that you can't touch it because it went through a zone of having to get rid of. But what happens if you give this to a non-Jew or you sell it to a non-Jew before Pesach? Shemichutz by kodem Pesach, who lives outside of your house out of Pesach. Afabisha Yisrael makir leni Yehudi. Even if I know this non-Jew, v'yodei v'shlo yiga b'klal, and I know he's not going to touch my stuff. Eli yishmerenu lo alachar Pesach, but he's going to watch it until after Pesach. V'yachzu v'nen lo mutar, and I'll buy it back or get it back after Pesach. It's mutar. Ubuvad shi'nenu lo matana gemura b'li shum tnai. Providing that he does this as a full-fledged thing, that it's unconditional. That meaning what? He can actually take my stuff. He can actually eat it. I can't bring him to court and say, he drank my schnapps. He went through my entire $500 collection. I have no claim, because it was really an unconditional gift. Oshim karenelo mechira gemura, meaning that he buys for it, really buys the value, worth of the chametz, and it's not like a non-Jew writing a dollar, and he's buying like all of Walmart. Like it's a real sale, there's real value and there's worth to it. Abamatana manas lahachsir, but if he's doing this and he's going in saying, see you in a week. Right? Then what? Lomahani doesn't work. Hold on for a second. So what you see here in the Shulchan Aruch is three cool concepts. What are the first concept? Number one, he disagrees with this whole notion that if it's done as a rarity, it's not good. It's only good if it's done as a rarity. He says it can be done annually. You can do it frequently. That's number one, chiddush number one. Chiddush number two is that it has to be conditional, and that's the only stipulation. Unconditional, I'm sorry. And the third chiddush, I raced over it because I didn't want to steal my own thunder, but what's the third chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch? He adds in one phrase that we haven't seen until now, and that is...
Out of your house.
Oh! It has to be out of your house. You're giving, you're bringing your box of chametz to Sal McMally and saying, here you go. That's $50. Right? And you get your $50 and go in. I might see you in a week. And you walk away. That's the Shulchan Aruch's approach to Mechiras Chametz. Not going to the rabbi. Okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, the Kinyan Suda, sometimes the rabbi doesn't have anything. He's like, where's the bear? Where's the bear? Let's go. Okay, right? That's not what it's all about. The Shulchan Aruch says that the only way that it works is if I actually bring my chametz to the non-Jew, he buys my chametz, and it's unconditional. Got it? I don't think so. Okay, now wait. Where does he get the whole out of the house concept? Where does he make it up from? So turn the page. So there are... Thank you. There are three different approaches to why it has to be out of the house. Because right now, we don't do any of this. So we have to understand why it has to be out of the house. The first one is given by the Radvaz, Rav David ben Zimra, chief rabbi of Egypt, 1400s. He says, why? The fear of munchies. That's it. Fear of munchies. Right? You got chametz in your house, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you're coming out in the middle of the thing, you open up the cover, you need those sunny doodles, come on. You can stop the sunny doodle, I can't. Not me. Right? And he says, and the cool thing is, why? But usually, why don't we have that concept with other things? That I can't own pork, I can't own bacon, because what? I might eat it, I might have munchies. Why all of a sudden by chametz? Because he says, you owned it a day ago. You were nashi from this 2 days ago. So you might right? So there is, since you might come to do it, it has nothing to do with the sale at all. It's just get it out of the house for fear that since you don't have that disconnect to it, because it's not really usher food, it's just usher time. And you just owned it, and you just had a relationship with it, might have been intimate, right? You might have the munchies at 2 o'clock in the morning with it, okay? Next, what?
What about the Isra that you had that your daughter was on your three-year-old that they find something to
go out
and find the
shelter,
and I get upset?
What?
If you have a piece of bread that your 3-year-old daughter left under the bed, and you didn't know that, and you didn't take it out of the house, it went to the shelter, and are you then tired?
You're chayiv, a peshogeg, for owning chametz over Pesach that you didn't know about it. But this is just telling us, not that you might have, this is just telling us why you might have to get out the chametz out of the house during the sale. They have nothing to do with each other.
You really get a
shogeg also? Of course, you're chayiv, bring a korba chametz, you do something to shogeg. I'm bringing a korba, because if we lived in Beit HaMikdash time, otherwise just hit yourself with a belt. Okay, next. Second page, come on. Where are we? Page 11, which is not numbered.
It is.
I don't see it. Page 11, I don't have it. Page 11. So the prof, the pre-chadash, comes along, same time, and he says, the reason why you get rid of your house is because it looks like you have it. It looks like nothing happened. It looks like you're it's either yours, or you're watching the chametz of a non-Jew. This is what the Torah wanted. Get the chametz out of your house for Shabbat Yamim. So what are you going to do? Hey, you want to buy my chametz and buy it back if I in a day for a week from now? The $10. You want to have it? It's in my house. What is a joke? So the prof says to get it out of the house because it's just ridiculous. It looks like you own it. So one says it's munchies. Two, you get it out of the house because what? Because it looks like you own it, or you're watching it, or you're a sub-baal, sub-owner of this thing. And the third approach is Tosos, page 12. Tosos says, no, you get it out of your house because that's the only way you actually can do a kinyan with a non-Jew. Right? The whole concept of money and contracts is very much rabbinic. But biblical, or pre-biblical, caveman time, how did you own something? Right? Sorry, you stuffed it into your house. There was a mashicha. You drained it into your possession. Right? So how do we know that what the Tosa says, What unquestionable kinyan, sorry, do you have with a non-Jew? Unquestionable, no one can deny when I go like this, when you give me your thing and I bring it into my house. That's a real kinyan. That's what Tana Gemara. So it's very interesting. Wait. These two opinions have nothing to do with this. You understand? You can sell. You can sell, but to make sure that it's not conditional about anything. Beis Hillel says, get it out of your house. The only one that says that it's because of this, get it out of your house, is this one. Tosa is saying, because that's the only way it works. Get out of your house, because that's how they make the kinya. The first one says, get out of your house, because you have the munchies. But what happens if I lock it up and put tape on it, which we do in our houses? And there's a siman to that. Then I'm not going to come to do the munchies, right? I'll come over and like, huh. Right, it's chametz, right? Or the second thing, that it looks like you own it, not when I have a little X. And I have Mary McNally's picture, this is owned by Goyim, right? But the third one, who cares if I put a sticker on it? Who cares if I put an X or I lock up that cupboard? I didn't get to do the kinyan, because the only way I can do the kinyan is if they take my chametz into their possession. Get it? Major difference. So we have one chakira, one major difference here, and we have another major difference here, whether or not it works if it stays in your house. I can get around it if I tape it up for these first two. But I don't get around the concept with this. Got it? You're following? It's a very cool shit. What? What?
How does the tape thing work? Let's say the guy decides that he or she wants to come into your house and actually take a comment. But so all of a sudden they open up the cupboard, they take some comments, and let's say some crumbs fall on the floor, and then they close the cupboard, they walk, somebody comes in, they say, oh,
okay.
Look, this is
so in Florida, I'm seeing my old friend. In Florida, I'll talk about how we, at the end, what halacha mice, if you want to do it correctly, we would sell it to a person, they would pay a lot of money for the chametz, and we would talk about keys and stuff like that, but she had access to all the chametz. We were machpid that she would have access to chametz, and every year, she would, out of a lottery, pull out a name from the shul list, and go in, either on Yontif or Chol HaMoed. She preferred Yontif because we liked it on Yom Tov when they were sitting around at the table. She would walk into the house.
Yeah.
She'd say, hi, could I have my chametz? And we would come tell her, every year I want you to do that. And the shul knew that. And she would walk in, into the house, take down the thing, open it up, take a box of something, or a slug of something, because she was a drinker, and tape it up, and she would walk out. Right? Because that's really, and the people, and then, because that's not making a joke out of it. That's really, it's hers. She can take whatever she wants.
Oh, how do you sell it back? So it's a real sell.
It's a real sell. We'll talk about that in a moment. Okay? So that, you're talking about that, it's really hers. And then she has to have access to it. She has to know where it is. She can do it, and we'll get to that point in a second. What? However, if you feel that the only way you can do a kinyan with a non-Jew is if they take it into their property, this doesn't work. And that's why in our shul, sometimes you had some really machmir individuals, they would come and they would bring their box of schnapps. And you're like, oh, come on. Just at least slip it to your car. What?
Why do they use all these three reasons? Why don't they just say it's shot in the Torah, that it has to be outside your house? It says it. For 7 days, leaven may not be found in your house.
Perfect. Turn it. Turn to page 14. How does that work when you
give them like
a down? Like some X, something of it.
Something of it.
How does that work with Kenyan? I'll give you the knob of my stereo, you call my stereo.
Can't you do like a string? Take a plug.
Okay, so if they have something, but if only if they have access to the other thing. Right.
Okay. Well, you can do for a kid, and you can like say this thing represents my item.
Exactly. That's fine if you don't agree with Tosos and say that all kinyana that we have between Jew and Jew exists between Jew and non-Jew. Tosos feels that we should be machbid and say, let's go to the most rudimentary transaction, and that is taking an object. And that then there's unquestionable element of that. But to say we're using rabbinic levels of kinyan suder, you know, with a napkin and all this kind of stuff. But the guy, that's a chiddush, and the Tosfos doesn't want to go there. What?
That's not
sorry,
traditional.
Like that.
Isn't
we like that.
What? Isn't like someone thought he got these every step on, like they gave money and they took the field? Like, it's not.
That was Ketzen.
Yeah, that was money represented.
Okay. It's before Har Sinai.
Okay.
Sure.
Sorry. If you say so.
Okay. Here we go. Your question. Page 14. So the question is, guys, who here schleps their chametz to the rabbi?
You.
I don't. Okay?
You are the rabbi.
No. So we don't... We'll have to understand how we get around this. But what about... So I tape it up so I won't have the munchies. Well, you're saying also, the Prof says, but that's not what the Pasuk says. So, right? It's not mine. So, turn the page. Here we go. Page 14. So, the time when David HaLevi talks about it, he says, D'yachilo keren zavik l'chan so shalakum. If you earmark or designate an area in your house for the chametz of the non-Jew, right? In zavik l'ver l'akum, right? Ki me'el d'nafshe kemaya mishum shenem lo yimatsa v'edhecham yasa zashe yinamatsa b'yadecham. Bayrabayim Matzah, this is very cool, is only your chametz in your house. But there's a concept, there's Kinyan Chatzah, there's Kinyan Agav. If I sell you a box or something like that, or a stereo, it's not only the stereo that I'm selling you, but the area that's holding that stereo as well. It's very interesting, until you take it out of my possession. So when I designate a smaller area in my house and I say to the guy, there's chametz here, this is yours, and you bought it, they actually bought the cabinet as well. That's how kinyanim work. Until they take the item with them, the item containment is sold as well.
Wait, does that mean
so halachically, believe it or not, even though this is not the pulse of the Torah, for sure not, is that this is not your house. It's not your house. That cupboard, that area of your kitchen, that garage area that's locked up where you put your boxes there, is not your chutzner anymore. It's the gullies.
Does that mean they have the bike in the garage?
Like, can rip your cabinet of your house?
Yeah, if you want to have a fist fight with him,
you
can't
walk in the
basically.
Door, though.
Well, but you have no right to have
a
fist fight with
him. He just can't damage your wall.
Yeah. He could, if he went in, if you had a shelf, right? If you had a shelf, api alacha, and the shelf was on hinges, he can go in and go like this.
He can move into your garage.
Right? Yeah, you can sit on the box of the chametz. Now look at the next. The Magen Avraham comes along. Here we go. And he says two interesting things, and then we'll see practical alacha. See where I am?
Yeah?
So here it goes. Gama chametz yotzei chutz habayit, the chametz should go out of your house. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Dim yishav bebeito, if it stays in your house, yeh nirak makaf mikadam chametz shalakum. It looks like you're watching chametz of a non-Jew, or worse, it looks like it's yours. Ava medina shari, but really, halachically, it's permissible to keep the chametz in your house. Yes, technically, it's fine. Is it the pulse of the Torah? Absolutely not. Technically, it's fine to keep it in your house. Why? Because I know, and the litmus test is, what happens if I damage it? What happens if I damage that chametz? No. About in kishyabed chametz yisrael chayisrael lahapsir demei asir lahakom asir. Meaning, this has to be purely the prerogative of the non-Jew to leave it in your house. If you're involved in watching it, then there's an ownership. There's a relationship between you and the chametz. So you're basically saying to the non-Jew, I got chametz in my house. Do you want it? No, it's in my garage. You can come and take it whenever you want. It's in the garage for you. That chutzner, that area is yours. Take it. You want it? It's written down. Here's my address. Here's my key. The chametz there. You bought it. You don't want to schlep it? It's fine. You can pick it up whenever you want. What happens if I bump into it and I spill the scotch? The non-Jew, it's unbelievable, can't come to me and say, hey, you ruined this. Excuse me, I'm not owner, I'm not a showmare, I'm not anything. This has nothing to do with me whatsoever. So it's unbelievable. It's like no one can claim you know, responsibility. No one can claim damages versus the others because we created this like off zone DMZ over this humming.
Why are you like you're just watching them? I don't understand that.
You can't. Because any shomer that is held responsible for anything is related to that object. You're a quasi, whether or not you want to agree with
that,
you are a quasi owner, right? Because if you damage something, what can I say? In regular torts and penalties, if I could say, buy me another one, and you're left with a broken stereo, the broken car, right? I want my money back. You have some kind of relationship and ownership because I can claim damages against you. So if you're going to hold that person's chametz, it's purely the non-Jew's responsibility. And he can't have any claim to me. I'm saying, take it out. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not your showman. I'm not your nothing. Here it is. You have access to it. And Magen Avraham says, if that's the case, he has to have access to it. He has to. Yitzur lo mafteach. If it's staying in your house, two things. You have to tie it up so you don't have the munchies. That's the first issue. Number two, right, it doesn't look like it's yours. It's his. It's for sure, it doesn't look like it's yours, but fine, it's technically not yours. You can't get around it. If you're going to use this, it's not yours. What about the kinyan itself? I disagree with Tosos, he says. And the Mishnah Berurah on the next page, and I'll answer your questions, says all kinyanim that exist between Jew and Jew exist between Jew and non-Jew. Every single one. Kinyan Sudar, Kinyan Kesef, Kinyan Shtar, all kinyanim, all transactions, business transactions between Jew and Jew exist between Jew and non-Jew. So therefore, he can have a contract, he can sell it, as long as he has access to the thing, it's his. So basically, when we're doing this, when we're coming now to this point in our life, thank you, modern day approach, we're here, this is where we are, like a little map in Disney World, this is where we are. To get here, we ignore this, right? This rarity, sensitivity, and we, it's like a slalom, and we ignore this, that it has to be out of your house, out, and basically we're going down this path. You get it? We're skiing down this path. We're saying it works, you can do it frequently, it has to be done as a full gift, they have to have full access, right? It has to be a full gift, unconditional, and that's how you get to this point.
You can also argue that you ignore the passage, though. If you look at it, check.
You are, if you're honest with yourself, you are finding a technical loophole to get remove yourself from the pulse of what it's all about.
That's being generous.
Yeah. I'm honest?
Yeah.
He needs access to...
I'm honest.
Yeah. What? You need access to everything or just like, to one house?
You need access to every chametz that you own. That means you open a cabinet and they have keys there. Or, like every year that I sell my chametz, if I sell any, I don't sell chametz. But if I sell chametz, I give my key to non-Jew, to my house, and a code to the alarm. Here's my key. And this is where the chametz is. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
So why does no one else do that?
Should. We'll talk about it in a second. I'll show you what the shtar that we use and used in Florida. We'll get there in a second, and you'll see all the sensitivities. Like, oh my God, you know, who does this? And then we did this because after we took these sensitivities. What? Come on.
So just clarify what the rules of damaging things. If I clean someone else's house and I break something that belongs to them, I don't need to pay them for it?
If you're in someone else's house...
And I damage something that belongs to them, I don't need to pay for it?
And you damage something and it was purely by accident?
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. If I damage someone's house, this like multi-$1,000 article that's in there.
By accident. If you're in a person's house, Pesha, and you bump into their vase, and a vase breaks, are you chayav for nezek? No, I don't think so.
So thank you for
everything. So they just like... So they just got the short end of this.
You screwed it. Permanently.
It's by accident. I'll check the halacha again. I'll check Pesha Mishpat. I think you're probably. I'll check. I'm not asking. I'll tell you Shabbos.
So they're just stuck in a hard spot because they're nice enough to have you over there.
Accidents happen!
I know. Like, I understand how then you're not alive to pay them back.
If I give a person. Listen, if I give a shomer chinam something, if I ask a person to watch it and I don't pay for him, he's not responsible for certain things. Only shomer safar for elements of negligence.
No, what you're
so if you're in my house and you by accident tripped over something, I'm going to tell you you owe me $5,000 from my Chinese vase?
Yeah.
I have to look at Chosha Mishpat again. I don't think so.
It's a sense of goodwill, but you're not
high. I don't know if you have goodwill, but I'm okay.
Next, page 16.
Wait, question.
What?
If you're in a supermarket, does that mean you're giving that access to your entire supermarket?
Can we talk about what you have to sell? But it's a very good question. If you have a supermarket, you own a supermarket, you're selling the, you have to sell the chametz, right? Because otherwise you go under. If you just, you know, eat or just have a fire sale of all your crackers. And the person has to have access to your thing. And that's what once happened once in Long Island, the non-Jew was refusing to give back.
Is he allowed to take for future? If he owned it all, is he allowed to take for future?
It was insane.
Yeah,
so,
if he refused to give it back, then do you have to pay for it? Did you pay $50,000 or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was hard. It was a hard dance for the rabbis because the more they muscled him to do something, undermined the entire sale. The more you muscle him to say, excuse me, it's not really yours, then it's chametz shavar lo pesach and no one can have enough from it. You understand? Screw either way.
This is what I don't understand what people do. I don't even know if they do it. Say the guy has like a $250,000 bakery or whatever.
Yeah.
Sells it to another guy and he says, pay me $1 million for it. And I'm not making you pay me yet, but it's yours until you pay me. So is that not a full transaction at that point?
So you know what? I'm sure you find hundreds of rabbis that do that, but is that really Matana Gemara?
Maybe not. So then what does it say? Does the non-Jew have to pay him again?
I'll tell you something. Rabbi Willig. Yeah, some people, they do that. They say that, you know, if you keep this, you know, in a week's time, the money only kicks in after a month's time. Yeah. There are ways of doing it. Contractually, it's fine. You can create this. I'll give you a sensitivity. Rav Willig in Riverdale only sells to billionaire non-Jews. Because he says otherwise it's a joke. It's a joke. Because if they can't, if they have the choice to buy it, and he writes a contract, give me a down payment of $1,000 for all of this. The value of all the chametz I'm selling you is $500,000, $700,000. I'm selling you four bodegas, Jewish bodegas, and, you know, 500 homes. It's worth the equivalent of all that scotch and all that kind of stuff is how much? Say $5 million. And it's yours, and you give me a down payment of $5,000 now, and in a month from now, or 2 months from now, the sale, if you retain it, is $5 million. You can't go to your custodian and say, sign here. Right? And many rabbis do that. Here, sign here, Jimmy. Right? Right? Sign here. You, what did I sign? You just bought all the Jews of Manhattan's chametz. Right? How much is it? It's like $6 billion. Okay. I mean, it's a joke. So Rav Willig was like, I go to a billionaire. I have my billionaire Jews that I go to. Which makes sense. If you're honest with it, it's harder to do, but it works.
Then if, you keep
if you're joking about it, then worse. The worst case scenario is not only did you make a mockery of the pasuk in the Torah, you just violated chametz shavar lo pesach, and everyone's eating chametz aser food. Okay, next. What do you sell? Well, we know that you can sell real chametz because that's what we're talking about. You don't have to sell kitnia or something that's basically not edible. Read Shulchan Aruch. Dabar shesar v'chametz v'inu machil adam. If something's not machil adam, then it's not. You don't have to. Then you're not violating by your rabbi matze with it, like shampoo or something like that. That might be whatever it is. You're not violating what?
I have turtle food. You don't have to sell it.
If it's not Michael Ben Adam, then you don't have to sell it. But we sell everything. You sell everything just to make sure. That's what I sell. I sell all things, chametz, components. I'm getting rid of all chametz, Gilmore. And all suffix chametz, that's what I sell. Next, kitniot. You don't violate by Rabbi Matzei for kitniot. All the Ashkenazim here who don't eat kitniot, you don't have to sell it because it's only a violation of eating it. The Minhag, Rav Eider, in his famous thing of Pesach, he says some people don't sell chametz. And like what I do, and they only sell the suffix chametz because they want to be loyal to the pasuk of not having chametz in their house. So what do? I get rid of all my chametz in my house because I want to read the pesukim and feel proud that I'm actually echoing what's found in the Torah. But I have stuff in my house that I don't know if it's chametz. I don't know if my right guard spray is chametz, even though I'm not going to spray it in my mouth and eat it. Or my shampoo or organic or soaps, who knows, who has even organic soap, right? Right? So what do? I sell any suffix chametz in my house. Right? So therefore, I use something in halacha that works, then I cover myself. I'm only using it as, not as a loophole, but I'm using it as an act of being machmir on keeping the pulse of the pasuk. Now, stop. So Some people come, and I've seen this before, and they say, Rabbi, I'm selling all my chametz in my house, and I'm selling all my chametz dishes. Right? And you see on the list that they include, I'm selling all my chametz dishes. Who here has ever heard in their house that they sold chametz dishes? Please don't raise your hand. Put your hands down. Okay, what's the problem of selling chametz dishes?
Definitely not edible.
No, some people say my dishes have an absorbed taste of chametz on it. I just ate pasta on it, right? It's the same way that if I just ate meat on a dish, I can't have chalabi on it because there's a bliya, there's an absorbed taste on it, and they say it's chametz.
You have to retovel all your dishes.
You have to retovel every single dish. First of all, there's no bayirah bayimatze for absorbed taste. It's objects that you're violating bayirah bayimatze, right? So you want to be machmir. Some people are machmir, and they're actually screwing themselves in the process. And they're not. They're being foolish. They're being chas v'shalom. They're saying, I'm going to be really shrum. I want to sell my dishes, the absorbed taste of all my chametz dishes. And then they come, then a week later, they buy it back, and they're eating from it, motzei Pesach. They just realize that they just purchased goyish dishes. They have to bring every single dish to the mikvah and tovel again. Because it's not yours. It's huge. So Vayyosef says, please don't be that super frum. And he's like, you know, just, there's, and again, all of halacha has tentacles. You can never view anything in a vacuum. Every single halacha is spread throughout. So you're talking about chametz, it's selling chametz, and you come to be tovling your dishes. Why? Because you can think, if you're so far removed, then you're just on this locomotive without thinking. Sell, and not thinking about the pulse, not thinking about the exception, not thinking the utilization of it, then you're actually messing yourself up and fraying the Torah when you're like preserving the mantel.
What do you do for your suffix items? Do you have to list every one that you can?
No, you throw suffix items in a little closet and you say the worth of it is $100 and it's in this closet. What about stocks? What about stocks?
It depends on what you own.
I own stocks in Lender's Bagels. Huh.
They're definitely not fat in your house.
But I own it.
You don't own a significant portion of Macha that's like...
It doesn't matter if I own it.
It's so very cool. So Minchas Yusuf comes along, it's like someone asks you stocks.
I don't understand how owning has nothing, it doesn't say in the Pasuk, it says, like, you can't find it.
So like Mara talking about Bayirah Bayimatze is not only can you see, can you find, but also ownership. Otherwise, it's a redundancy of the Pasuk.
The majority of the Pasuk, I own it.
You have to sell it. Of course, you can't own it.
Of course you're happy.
You short sell it.
What? So he says, the Minchas Yitzchak says, if you have stock on chametz, you have to sell it before Pesach. Someone asked him, and I was like, oh man, this is Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov Breish in our 20th century. And he says, oh yeah, aval kodem haPesach ein etzah acheret, there's no other way. Rak shi'im kvar Yisrael miyo kodem Pesach lanaf, you have to sell your stock, short sell them, to a non-Jew right before Pesach. And Rav Shterbach was like, what? What are you talking about? Unless you own like a controlling share of the company, then it's paper. You're owning not Lender's Bagels, you're owning a dollar, you're owning money, you're owning revenue, you're owning some of their marketing. You're not owning the bagel itself. If you own 51%, you can change and all of a sudden say, I want to make Lender's Bagels into diamonds and triangles, and you can actually change the chametz, then you have to sell your chametz beforehand and find the loophole. But if you don't have anything... What?
Let's say you own even 25%.
If you have a controlling share of the company, it depends on how the company is spread publicly. You don't have to get into that.
So
everyone has three shares, and you have the controlling part. You can have 8% of the company and have to be the controlling partner of the whole thing. Depends if you have the controlling share.
So any majority shareholder...
If they're a Jew, on Chametz Islands, have to find a way to get out of it.
How do you do that?
What?
You sell it.
You sell it to a non-Jew who's going to hold your thing, and you're probably going to lose some money unless you do transfer of deed. You don't have to sell. You transfer of deed and it's fine. Next, what about time zones? Tell me the problem with time zones. Go for it. Someone, raise your hand. Tell me what's the problem with time zones.
It's so bad. Time.
Okay, I'm a New York boy. I'm going to Israel for Pesach. I tell my rabbi, I got 5 packages of used Lender Bagels in my closet. I tape it up. I give the key. I do everything according to halacha, right? But I just love my Lender Bagels because they look like Elvis and I want to sell it on eBay, right? Right? I don't want to get rid of it. So then what happens? I give to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, I'm going to sell the chametz at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Erev Pesach. 2 o'clock Erev Pesach, is I'm in Israel. It's 2.5 hours after my Pesach started, or 1.5 hours after my Pesach started in Israel. So for my first hour and a half of Pesach in Israel, I owned chametz in my house. So what do you have to do? You have to tell your rabbi that you have to sell it early. And the rabbis usually would have two sales. One in the morning for all those in time zone, and the other thing. And conversely, you have another issue. So then some people do the opposite. Some people say, Rabbi, I'm not selling to you this year. I'm going to Israel. I'll sell it to the rabbi in Israel. So he comes to Israel. He comes 2 days before Pesach. He goes to the rabbi, and let's say in Rechavia, and he gives him the thing, and he says, my key's by my neighbor, right? Give me access, even though what guy is going to fly to America to get the key from the neighbor and have access to the chametz? If they could, theoretically, it's fine. But what happens? After Pesach, the rabbi selling chametz, got another 7 hours.
Can't
exactly. He sold the chametz too short, and all of a sudden, right? So does it go by Baal or does it go by chametz? Are we sensitive to the zone of where the person is, and just he sells the chametz and buys chametz based on his zone, or do we fall, or do we do it by the zone of the chametz? So everyone says Baal because it's his yuntif,
and you end up being more mild.
Yeah, so what do? We're machmir for both, because at that time they can't even imagine a concept of a time zone period, that a person's leaving his thing and within day two and not getting rid of it and all that kind of concept. With a time zone difference didn't exist at that time. So when they say we're machmir on both, even though it should really only follow your bob, you know, your possessions, it makes sense. My bagels are going to be observing a Pesach when I'm snorkeling in the day after? Doesn't make sense.
What's the time
to
12?
Yeah. Okay, so it's not that bad. Turn the page. Here, so turn the next page. 23. This is the last page. This is the star that we created for Florida. Right? This is cool. So I'll sell, transfer, assign all chametz of whatever kind of nature which I own or possess or in which I may have interest, situated in the residence stated below, to the person. We mentioned the Goya's name, right? The address, the city, the state, the phone number, the address of where the chametz is for the Kenyan Chatzer, to make sure that there's a Kenyan Chatzer that they're buying that actual place, or any other places that you have to mention. The location, exact location of where the chametz is found. The value, approximate value of it, so the person knows how much they're buying. The value of the liquor aside, okay? And if they're going away, they have to say if they're buying the entire house and all the chametz in the entire thing, or the chametz in a certain area, and the keys to my home can be found with blank. Full access, and the phone during the day, and the phone during the evening of the key holder. Not where I am. Where's my key? And where 24 access to my key. That's the only way, according to the Magen Avraham, that it works with keeping it into your house. And if you're going away to a different time, what's the time zone specified, and a witness, so it's actual Matana Gemura, a Kenyan Gemura, because if you have a contract without a witness, it's also a question. So you have an Aedus of this contract, and that's a deal. Cool. It's a real deal. Right? No, Moshe don't have it. Okay?
You have it.
Made a lot of money then.
Where are you going to Florida?
Where was this used?
Yeah.
This was used for Boca, where I was a rug, and it was used since I was on the basin for Southern Florida that we used this shop. Questions? Great. Have a good night. See you on Saturday. Anyone saying it? See you.